ready? Here we go.
The Hit Breakfast Show.
All right.
Thanks to McDonald's. Grab a McCafe iced coffee made with the new McCafe blend.
Hello, hello. This is the Cliffo and Gabby podcast. This is a Friday edition. Oh, it feels like such a Friday too. I'm just dying for a sleep in the morning.
I hear ya.
I think everyone does. It's that time of the year, mate.
I had a weird dream last night that I was a spider.
Oh. Good one or a bad one?
I could see like my legs and there was like molt and it was very weird. Yeah. And
plural legs when you're a spider because there's eight of those furry little suckers.
It's so weird.
You have the most vivid dreams.
I have the weirdest dreams.
I never remember them.
They don't even scare me anymore because it's just normal to be whack. Mm. Like,
I don't know why. I think we're just getting to that end of the year when we sleep deep because, I don't know, we're just done.
We're done like dinner at Christmas.
I'm cooked and I'm waking up sore because I'm sleeping so deep, like just in bad positions or
you're
whatever.
You're not rolling over enough because you're just dead to it.
I wake up like creaking like an old door.
Mm.
Anyway.
Enough of our
problems. Couple of whinges. This is the Cliffo and Gabby podcast. Massive one coming up. Hang around.
What's new? What's a cat? Whoa, whoa,
whoa. We are having cat problems at home at the moment with my cat.
Okay, not just a
Taco.
Random cat.
No, it's Taco. And he's doing that thing again. I've talked about this on the show before where he keeps killing rodents and leaving them at the back door.
Mm.
Happened again yesterday afternoon.
What kind of rodent was it this time?
It was a mouse. It's always like a mouse or a rat, that kind of thing.
A lizard.
And you just know he's had the best day. I get home and it's displayed literally on the back mat, like at the front door, like a meat tray. And Taco's just walking around when I get home, meowing to get my attention, loving it sick. Like, Dad, look what I've done. And I talked about this before. The vet told me that is the cat believing that the family is not being provided for.
You are not providing for your family, Cliffo. And you need help.
That is exactly what
you need help.
Taco is saying.
Here's a bit of meat for the family.
If your cat's doing this, your cat thinks you're a loser who's not providing for the family. That came straight from the vet. And I thought, you know, I don't like this. It keeps happening over and over again. So I'm going to do what any conflict avoiding wimp would do. To write a letter.
Passive-aggressive email.
Yeah, like you would, you know, if your neighbor's dog's barking too much, you know, to confront them.
Okay.
You write them a letter. So I've written Taco a letter, which I'm going to share now because this needs to end. Dearest Taco, I write in regards to the small gift you left on the back porch yesterday afternoon. Whilst I understand the gift was left in good faith, I must ask the question, just who the hell do you think you are? While I may have cut back on the overtime and weekend work lately, I, good sir, am more than capable, and my hardworking wife as well, we are more than capable of providing for the family. Your smelly little rodent provisions are not necessary. You need to remember from whence you came. You were rescued from a shelter and welcomed into our home. And as far back as I can remember, Michelle and I have been the ones buying the tins of whiskers and the packets of kibble. Unless you're planning on putting on a little suit and tie and going out and getting a job on your own, that's how I see the relationship continuing. In future, your wild caught provisions will not be necessary, and you will be wise to remember that. Your loving father always, Cliffo.
There was a bit of a or else kind of vibe.
Totally. And yes, everyone, if you're wondering, you have just heard from a man whose position in the world was threatened by a cat. That's what happened. We're making room on Zoom for him right now. Sam Fisher, good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Oh, my God. Thank you for having me. I love making room for the Zoom.
I know, right? I was pretty happy with myself with the rhyme there.
I appreciated that. I've got to say, I can't wait until I'm actually like in the room with you, but room with the Zoom will do for now.
Well, when's that going to happen? Because there's been talk about international travel being allowed back to Australia very soon. Have you got plans in place?
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, look, with any luck, I will be able to come home for the Arias. And so hopefully end of November. And if not, then absolutely next year. I'm dying to come home. I am unbelievably homesick.
So yeah.
Can't wait to get back.
I mentioned it just before the song there, before we played your new song, but we know what other people say with you and Demi Lovato and the amazing news that is nominated for an ACRA. That's an Australian
radio one.
That's an Australian commercial radio award. It's not nominated for that. It's nominated for an ARIA. So well done.
Thank you. I was so blown away. I'm in London currently, and last night when the nominations came out, I had just taken a sleeping pill.
Oh.
And so I got a text from Nicole, my publicist, saying you just got nominated for an ARIA. And so I'm here fighting this sleeping pill while like freaking out that I got nominated for an ARIA. It's just been a whirlwind of emotion. I'm so grateful.
We so hope you're able to come back for the ARIAs to be able to celebrate that with the rest of Australia. We would be keen to see you there. I wanted to ask you, though, I was looking at your Instagram, and just 8 hours ago, Sam, you heard a song of yours on the radio for the first time in the wild. I can't believe this was the first time, but talk us through it because you looked excited.
Okay, so, yeah, the first time is I know my songs have been on the radio, and that geeks me out every time. I don't think I'll ever get used to like to hearing a song of mine on the radio. But today was the first time that I've ever caught a song of mine on the radio in the wild. And I was in an Uber, and I was told that Scott Mills at BBC Radio 1 was going to play it. I just didn't know when. And so I just said to the Uber driver, can you put on Radio 1? And I put it on. And he put it on, and Hopeless Romantic was playing, and I just like about lost my mind. And I was like yelling, and the radio, the Uber driver, bless him, he was like, "What? Are you okay? Like, what's going on? Is that?" I was like, "That's me. That's I'm on the radio." It was like just insane.
Five star rating for that guy.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Hey, also, we've been celebrating mullets on our show for a little bit now. We actually had Queensland's Sickest Mullet as a competition. The 12 finalists got made into a calendar of Queensland's Sickest Mullet, and we have exclusive copies because we didn't get many printed to hand out. I hear that once upon a time, Sam, you had a mullet.
Listen, did I ever? I had a long, curly, bright red mullet, and actually... I think I have a photo that I can show.
Oh my God, please. Please, we need to see it.
Obviously, we're on the radio, so like people won't be able to see it. But I don't know if you can see this, but I'm probably 4 years old in this photo. And
wow. Look, okay.
We need to get this on our socials.
We're going to get this on our socials at Cliff Owen Gabby on Facebook and Instagram. That is.
As you should. I mean, the bow tie, the pink bike, the mullet, the face, the vest.
Oh, my God. I don't think you could outdo that fashion time in your life, Sam.
I'm seeing that. It's pity. It's pity all the artwork's done already for Hopeless Romantic. It's such a great single. And Hopeless Romantic, I mean, that image you just showed us, we'll put it on our socials. That'll go great with that song. Get around it, guys. We love Sam Fisher. You are welcome on the show anytime, my friend. Thank you so much, Sam.
Thank you guys so much for having me. All the love and support has been unreal. I can't wait to come home.
You may have seen the news that a four-year-old by the name of Cleo Smith vanished last Saturday morning at the Blowholes campsite in Western Australia. The search for her has been going for nearly a week now, and there have been similarities thrown out there from this and the Madeleine McCann case from many years ago. So we've found Dr. Graham Hill. He is the founder and first head of behavioural analysis in the UK at the Child Exploitation Online Protection Centre. And he was involved in the Madeleine McCann missing person case. And he joins us right now. How are you, Dr. Graham Hill?
I'm good.
Graham, run us through your involvement in the Madeleine McCann disappearance.
As head of behavioural analysis for CIOP, I was sent out to offer some advice to the Portuguese police a few days after she went missing. I think the similarities, in as much as they're a little girl that's gone missing around about the same age, I think the striking difference is where Madeleine McCann went missing from was a very busy holiday resort in the middle of summer. Where this little girl has gone missing, the geography and the location is very different.
Yeah. We do know a little bit about little Cleo's vanishing. Like Gabby said, nearly a week ago. She was last seen at 1:30 a.m. last Saturday morning. Her mother woke a few hours later to see that the zipper of the tent that they were sleeping in was open. Cleo was missing, and the sleeping bag she was in was also missing. Since then, the WA government has announced $1 million reward for information in the disappearance of Cleo Smith. What do you think about rewards, Dr. Graham Hill? Are they generally an incentive to get valuable information for investigators?
Well, they can be very useful. You know, you're trying to get the public to give you bits of information. Normally, you don't have to put a reward up for a case like this because it's a small child. It plays into everything that, you know, people think about family and family life. Mm. So it's quite unusual to put a reward up. But anything that's going to make someone pick the phone up and give some vital information, the thing to remember, it can create a lot of information. And you often get with these cases what's known as empathy sightings. So people that want to help, that ring up, give information. And of course, the more information the police have got, the more information they've got to sift through to get through to those nuggets of information.
Right. So sometimes too much information can be a detriment when it comes to this.
I mean, I've been involved in many cases over the years in the UK, many high profile cases, and we've had lots of media coverage. You know, and it's a double-edged sword. You know, you generate lots of information, but then you've got to deal with that information once you've got it.
With the Madeleine McCann investigation, it was a very, very long time before any kind of answers were provided. With this case, it's almost been a week now with little Cleo Smith. What do you think the chances are of having any answers in the near future?
Well, I don't know the geography and I don't know the terrain, but I'm guessing a week after the girl's gone missing, they'll be coming towards the end of some kind of search strategy of some kind. And once they've not found her, then you're going to have to consider that she's been taken away from that particular area. And then that brings into play lots of different scenarios about was a vehicle used. I'm guessing it's quite remote there, so you're going to have a car or a vehicle of some kind. So you're going to have to start thinking that she can be a long way away from the location where she was last seen. So it changes the dynamics. They're going to be thinking about, you know, trying to do what's called suspect generation, trying to make looking at options that move away from the missing scenario and move towards something a little bit more sinister.
It's so, as a parent, it's so hard to hear.
Yep.
And it's definitely a story that's playing into the psyche of the country at the moment. We've seen it before with all the way back to Azaria Chamberlain and William Tyrrell and Daniel Morcombe.
It's every parent's nightmare.
Yeah, it is.
Dr. Graham Hill, a behaviour analyst in the UK, thank you so much for your insights this morning, Doctor. Much appreciated.
No problem. Thanks a lot. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Is Guidance Gabby.
Oh, a bit of a tough one today coming in from Linda. She got in contact on Instagram. She DM'd us. You can find us at Cliffo and Gabby. And this is pretty poignant at this particular time being about vaccinations. So this is what Linda has said. Dear Guidance Gabby. Oh, and we are asking for your guidance, by the way. So if you've got... Think it through as we talk you through her letter.
How that works by now. You ask for everyone's help and then claim it under the name of the segment.
Exactly.
Guidance Gabby.
So get ready to give your two cents at the end of this. Dear Guidance Gabby, I'm double vaxxed and believe modern medicine is a gift. My friend of 40 years, however, has recently been converted to anti-vaxxer status in the wake of the COVID-19 vaccine. Every time we chat lately, she tries to convince me that the vaccine is out to get us all, and we get into an argument. I also don't want to spend time with her in person because I feel like her choices are dangerous to those around her, especially to my elderly mum, who wouldn't survive if she caught COVID. I've already had to delete this friend off Facebook because of all the fake vaccine research, in inverted commas, she spams me with, but I'm almost at the point of walking away from the friendship altogether. Is this a lost cause, or do I try to ride it out in the hope that we can agree to disagree in future? Linda.
Linda.
It's a tough one, hey, because...
Nah, it's not. Dropper.
Dropper. Well, I feel like, I don't know why, like, you know, they say don't talk about politics and religion at dinner parties, but vaccinations have definitely become that hot topic, haven't they? Where you're that's
actually to the point where do I even invite that person to the dinner party?
Because you're either for or against. Like, there's not many people that are on the fence.
No.
Maybe there's some concerns, but when it comes to passionate beliefs around vaccines, it's very passionate one way or the other.
Do you think I'm being too harsh? Because I say drop her like a hot potato. I believe you're a better friend to your friend.
Well,
friends that I am to my friends.
Like, I feel like a friend of 40 years. Like, this is, yeah, definitely a very hard time to cope. But I think that in the next couple of years, she may change her mind when she realizes that... I don't know.
Oh, mate, I'm going to put it out there. I reckon most anti-vaxxers eventually will get to a point where they change their minds because I believe they're wrong. But 131060, Guidance Gabby, give us a call.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think with Linda's mum being immune compromised as well too.
Makes it hard, doesn't it?
And, you know, you can be completely vaccinated against COVID and still be a carrier. So Linda could meet with his friends then still catch it.
And give it to her mum.
And not, it could make Linda not sick at all. Like, and Linda might not even see the COVID, or what do you call it? When the symptoms.
The symptoms,
she could share that to her mum.
And share it to her mum. Yeah, and
so
this
you
is
can't
not...
be, you can't be around his friends.
So let's not make this a vaccine debate, though, because that's not what we're asking for Guidance Gabby today. We're asking, they have very different points of view on the vaccine. Can they still be friends? That's the question we want to know.
Andrew is here first up. Andrew, it's essentially, should I stay, should I go? What do you think Linda should do?
I think if Linda's gone to the trouble of cultivating a relationship for 40 years, she shouldn't let one topic that they disagree on actually govern that relationship. You know, she just needs to, you know, sort of see that that's an issue, that she probably does need to speak to a friend about not being a zealot.
Yeah.
So maybe they come up with a rule to not talk about it ever when they're together.
Precisely.
Yep. But that still leaves the issue, though, of potentially Linda being a carrier to her mother, who's immune and compromised.
It does indeed. But if she's been double vaccinated, the likelihood of her actually passing it on to her mother. Now, if she comes in contact with her mother, that's different. And that might be another rule they need to put in place. But just keep her away from her mother, which possibly isn't an issue anyway.
Keep it as a rule that it's only phone conversations for this time.
Double vaxxed people can still be carriers. That's just what worries me out of that, Andrew. But thank you for the call. Christine's here. Christine, what should Linda do?
Well, it's really the other lady's choice if she wants to be vaccinated or not. You can't force someone to do it.
No, she's not trying to force her to do it. She's sick of... But so the line here is every time they try to talk, she tries to convince her that vaccines are out to get her. So that's why they end up in arguments about what's best and what's not. So it's the fact that they're disagreeing more so than her wanting to get her friend vaccinated.
Well, the friend shouldn't be telling her that she shouldn't be vaccinated, and the lady that is vaccinated shouldn't be said that you can't have it. So, because I'm not against it, but I haven't had my vaccination because, to me, it hasn't been researched enough.
It's the most researched. That's just not true, actually. It's the most researched vaccine in the history of vaccines. That's a fact.
That doesn't really give any guidance on whether the friendship can continue or not, does it?
No. Well, and I just can't let misinformation like what Christine just said go to air, because it's just not the
very
truth.
Research.
It's the most, I'll say that again, it's the most researched vaccine
in history
ever.
Yep.
Stacey is next. Stacey, what do you think about this whole friendship situation? What should Linda do?
I think Linda already knows what she wants to do. I think she really needs to trust her gut, like the safety of a loved one absolutely comes first. And can two friends have differences? Yeah. Music? Absolutely. But maybe not vaccines.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe it's too much of a difference.
It's not over, like, who's better, the Backstreet Boys or NSYNC. Like, there's actual life consequences that could come into play here, Stacey. So it's a serious one.
Yeah. It's a bit of a toughie, though, isn't it? Because, like, you know, it comes down to politics and religion and now vaccines. The things that if you don't have the moral
the list of things
similarities,
you
can you be friends?
Can't talk about at dinner parties.
It's increasing.
It's growing dramatically.
Cliffo and Gabby, Food Dudes.
This is Old Food Friday, where we find old, gross kind of looking recipes from back in the day. And give them a run. See how they really stand up to 2021. And this is one I found from the 70s. Back in the 70s, everything was in jelly. Everything seemed to have a jello kind of
was
twist.
Gelatin new?
It must
or something,
have been.
Because they would put, like, whether it was sweet, whether it was meat.
Savory, sweet, anything
whatever,
was in jello.
Everything had to be put in gelatin and put into generally a fancy looking kind of mold.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Unfortunately, I didn't have the mold and I wasn't going to buy it just for this because I'm never going to do
would
it
you?
Again.
It's not 1970 anymore.
But I made, it's a McCall's Great American Recipe of the Perfection Salad. So it's jelly salad. It is salad jelly. It
so what are we talking
like
here?
Like, a jelly. So I've made
salad?
It and I've sliced it up for you and we're going to give it a go. And not only is it in jelly, but there's actually flavour in the jelly as well. So I've got you one little piece.
Wow. So it's like my dressing in the gelatin.
That's exactly what it is. The gelatin is the dressing.
Gabby brought this in on a big plate and you're doing the, what was the rhyme that kids used to do? Like
wibble wobble, wibble wobble.
Wibble wobble, wibble wobble, jelly jelly. This looks absolutely foul.
Yep.
This looks disgusting.
Can you please give it a whiff for me? Can you smell it?
Well, before I do, I want to say what I said this morning when I saw it. Because it was in the bowl and you hadn't inverted it yet.
Mm.
And it was sitting between you and producer Brooke. And I thought Brooke had vomited into a bowl.
Not the case, but that's what it looks like. Give it a smell because it smells interesting.
Oh my God, it doesn't smell bad.
Does it smell like sweet and sour to you?
It smells like salad dressing. Like a sweet and sour
salad
dressing.
Sweet and sour salad dressing, right?
Smell bad at
I'm
all.
Not going to tell you exactly what's in it until you give it a good taste test and see if you can figure out what's in it.
So you go to all the effort of making these.
Yeah.
And
you try.
I get to try them, but I can see how much you've put into this.
There's a lot of effort
so
in this.
I'm not going to pussy around here.
Go. That's a big bite.
That's a big There's full, a, full.
You can see the carrot, the capsicum, the cabbage, all in jelly. Go for
and
it.
And it doesn't smell bad, so.
I hate the smell, but
putting it just smells like salad dressing.
All right.
Don't you like that?
Give it a go. Give it a go. Big mouthful. Straight away, you've really not enjoyed that, have you?
The flavour is possible. There's ginger in it.
No, there's not.
Isn't
it? No, surprisingly.
The flavour is possible.
Mm.
The texture is directly from hell. That texture, that's not supposed to be. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
the
I know what you mean.
The flavour is okay.
Right.
The texture
so
is what
what's
puts
in
you
it?
Off.
There's the cabbage, the capsicum, the celery, the shredded carrot. All of that's in there. But in the jelly itself, there's also apple juice, lemon juice, and vinegar. And sugar.
Maybe
there's
the
half
vinegar,
a cup of sugar in that.
What I was taking is, I think the vinegar I was
That's the ginger.
Thinking might have been gingery.
There's half a cup of sugar as well, because everyone loves sugar on their salad.
I'm gonna say, all of, like, that could make sugar and, you know, vinegar. That can actually make quite a nice salad dressing. It's again, it's just the texture. And I don't know if you remember, but in The Simpsons, they used to sing, "You don't make friends with salad."
You don't make friends with salad.
You don't make friends with salad.
I was going to say,
you don't make friends with salad.
You haven't made a friend this morning, mate.
The new season of The Bachelorette started this week and it's been amazing in so many different ways, but even more amazing was last night when I was watching The Bachelorette and I had it on the TV while I was doing some cleaning up in the kitchen and I said something to the dog, but fiancé Nev thought I was talking about the TV show. So keep this in mind.
Come here, you little bitch or something?
Not quite, but I'd just given Bear a little snack and he went over to the rug in front of the TV to eat it. And I looked over and I just went, "He's just licking it." And Nev was like, "Pardon? What's happening on The Bachelorette?" And he got a bit spooked.
I think that's the parts of The Bachelorette that happen. We don't
that's
actually
the Bachelorette
see?
After dark.
I think that's the Bachelorette parts that happen behind closed
doors.
You're right.
Doors. But there's a few other statements that I yell at my dog on a regular basis that I reckon could be mistaken for being yelled at The Bachelorette while it's on TV. So I'm just going to put them out there now.
Okay.
So if this is ever yelled, it's definitely at my dog. Don't get confused, even if The Bachelorette is on TV.
But these could quite easily, if they had to.
Yeah.
Apply to watching The Bachelorette on Channel 10.
So
I'm so interested to hear this.
Here's the first one. Oh, he's just marking his territory. Or how about, oh my God, stop humping her leg.
Yeah.
That would 100% apply. What about this one? Do you want a bone?
Kids going to school, mate.
I'm talking about a dog bone.
Sorry, we're talking, this is stuff.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
Gabby says
to Yeah, this is
the
what
dog.
I say to Bear.
Yep, that's the context.
Oh, Bear, stop sniffing her butt.
Yep.
When we're at the dog park, this is a regular one. Be nice to the bitches. Because you can get a bit growly. And finally, and this honestly is a regular occurrence. This is something I yell at Bear all the time. Where's your balls? So don't
Keep
get mistaken.
The Bachelorette, guys. Wednesdays, Thursdays on Channel 10. Nothing to do Nothing. With the last 60 seconds of radio. Nothing at all. More than 107 million people have watched Squid Game worldwide.
That's a lot.
107 million. It's the most popular release in the history of Netflix. And it's a low-budget Korean show. Like
low-budget Korean, very gory, very violent. Like, it's just unexpected to be
I think the English-speaking executives at Netflix are just scratching their head going, what? What?
Didn't predict this one.
We put all this money into The Crown? What are we doing?
Yeah.
But the world is absolutely obsessed with Squid Game, including Australian politicians. Bill Shorten was talking about it on the Today Show the other day. Barnaby Joyce then got on and said, I don't know about this Squid Game, so I'm going to go to an aquarium to find out about it, which is, that's just wrong.
We're not talking actual squids, mate.
But Prime Minister ScoMo is watching it. He went on the Fifi Box radio show in Melbourne, part of the Hit Network, part of our network, yesterday, and this is what they were talking to ScoMo about, Squid Games.
Watched it in the last quarantine.
You did. You did watch it.
Yeah. Well, it was my third quarantine. Well, this was my fourth, I think.
Did you like it? Is it like Australian politics?
No, thankfully, no, I don't think it is. But I must admit, it was a bit confronting. I won't be letting my daughters watch it, I can assure you of that. And I don't think anyone else should either. But it was certainly a bit novel. It broke the mundanity of having to go through quarantine. But, yeah.
I guess, his feedback there depends on how old your daughters are. Like, I mean,
Yeah. If my Gabby's dad's like, you're not watching it, Gabby.
And go, we're putting our foot down. Don't know. But if you haven't watched it yet, get on it because it is incredible. But the big theme of it is you got these down and out kind of people in debt, a lot of them, gamblers and just people who are, gangsters.
They've lost their money in terrible ways.
They owe money to loan sharks and stuff like that. So they get them all in this sort of like auditorium space and they have to compete in childhood games that they played as kids, but they have lethal outcomes.
So if
you're eliminated,
they're dead.
You are eliminated.
Yeah.
And that has got me thinking, because it's such an interesting spin, taking kids' games and making them lethal. If we were to have a Squid Game in Australia, total hypothetical here, obviously.
Obviously.
It's actually happening.
No, we're just trying to suss out whether it's a possibility or not.
We want to do it as a show thing. Now, but if it was to happen in Australia, what would be the Aussie Squid Games? Like, what games, what childhood playgrounds games would be included? The first one that sprung to mind for me was Duck Duck Goose. Where you sit in the circle.
And if you're
in the dark. Goose.
Oh, duck.
Yeah.
You said you sit in the dark. No, but you
sit
and you duck
goose. Squid Game.
And if you get caught as the goose. You're out.
You're very well and truly out. Musical Chairs was the other one I thought of.
The one that I thought of, and I've unfortunately been thinking about this a lot over the last couple of weeks, was Skipping Rope. Because at school for us, like, you'd all line up and you'd have a big skipping rope and you'd do the train where you run in, do one skip and run out, and everyone follows on.
So if you,
stop
the rope,
you're out.
The rope's like electrified or
something.
Did your school go through a hacky sack phase? Mine did.
No, we didn't.
We dropped the hacky sack.
See ya.
You dropped. 13, 10, 60, putting it out there. If, and again, total hypothetical. It's a show. We're allowed to laugh about it. We're allowed to,
We're allowed to imagine. As long as we're not going to put it into play.
13 10 60. If there was going to be an Aussie Squid Game, where the games that we played growing up as kids in Australia become part of the game and they become lethal or whatever, Gracie, what Aussie school game could actually be a Squid Game?
I reckon Rob the Nest.
Rob the Nest. Yes, where you've all got like a hula hoop and you've got sandbags in your hula hoop and you've got to get everyone else's sandbags into your hula hoop, but they're also trying to steal yours at the same time. And the person with the most sandbags in the hula hoop at the end wins.
Yeah, I'm just imagining Squid Games. It could be pretty intense.
It could be very intense.
Gabby, you put way too much thought into this.
You can either attack or defend. It's up to
you. We're actually doing it. Hypothetical. I do remember that game. That is a fantastic one.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gracie. Tom's here. Tom, what Aussie school game could be a Squid Game?
Oh, I reckon the old four square handball.
Yeah, man.
Oh, God, that's a given, isn't it?
That's an obvious one.
Even Kevin Rudd would get it.
How would players be eliminated, Tom?
Oh, as soon as you got to the bottom square and you got eliminated, you're gone.
You are gone, mate.
You want to be in the King Square for
mate,
sure.
I'm not going to say how it happened, but maybe just the same way that it happened in Squid Game in...
Tug of War?
No, I was going to say red light, green light, just where, you know, the holes open up. Pew, pew. Anyway, thanks, Tom. You weirdo. David's here next. David, what Aussie school game could be a Squid Game?
Elastics.
Yes. So it's like an elastic loop that two people put around their ankles and another jumps over it and it gets higher and higher.
Yeah.
Oh. And there's like a rhyme that goes with it, like...
I'm going to die, I'm going to die.
No.
I forget
it's like
the rhyme.
Like London, England, something, something, okay. Something puppy dog tails at the end.
You've just reminded me too, though, of the limbo.
Oh, limbo.
Yeah. You could electrify the stick or whatever. Or make the stick like a really sharp blade.
And if you touch it, it drops.
I don't know why I'm talking about methods here.
No,
we don't need the methods chat. Carmen is next. Carmen, what Aussie school game could be a Squid Game?
Good morning. I was thinking maybe something like Brandy, you know, where we used to dunk the tennis balls in water.
When you said Brandy, I thought that was like Red Rover, where you like run
tips.
Over. Yeah, yeah, and there's someone in the middle and you go from one side to the other.
What's your version
of
Brandy?
Yeah, what's your game?
So we used to have someone standing in the middle and they just used to dunk tennis balls in the water and then peg it at people.
Okay. Oh. So, like dodgeball.
Dodge
if you can ball, dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
With shot puts.
That was Cliffo and Gabby's podcast.
Looking for your morning coffee hit without the heat? Grab a McCafe iced coffee. It's perfect for warm Queensland mornings.